Pleased to be up and around. I was intending to give this sermon last Sabbath in Denver, but Mr. COVID had other plans, and calling that Sean was talking about, and we became familiar with what was then called the Radio Church of God, which is basically a predecessor of eventually United Church of God. At age 10, I read a booklet entitled 1975 in Prophecy. Loved that booklet. I was 10 years old, but I read through it, and particularly the pictures in there and the drawings by a great guy. What's that?
Basil.
Yes, by the name of Basil Wolverton, who had these great drawings of the end time and people being shoveled into ditches with bulldozers and bombs blowing off in the cities and so forth. I kept reading, I kept studying, even as a young boy. In 1963, we lived in a trailer park in Santee, California. And I remember my best friend, Joey, who was a dwarf. But we ran around together and enjoyed one another's company, and I would preach to him pretty often. And I told him in 1963, I said, "Joey, I'm telling you a bunch of stuff here, things that I learned in the booklet from the Bible." And I said, "I want you to know, and I want you in 10 years from now to remember this conversation, because that is going to be close to the return of Christ." I hoped that Joey didn't remember the conversation 10 years later. In 1967, my parents moved to Pasadena, California. And I remember my mother saying at that time, looking around at prophecy, looking around at world events, she said, "I don't see how things can go on another 5 years." 1967 would have brought us to 1972. In Ambassador College in 1968, one of our assignments was to prove from Daniel chapter 4 that 1975 was indeed the return of Jesus Christ. And you could do some calculations and figures to come to that event. And the way that it would be laid out, and here this is 1968, and I'd studied that even when I was age 10, that we'd flee to Petra in 1972. A lot of things would be going on in the meantime. And in 1975, the sixth trumpet would blow, the second woe would occur, and Russia would invade Europe. And then they end up with war in Jerusalem, the seventh trumpet would blow. In 1975, Christ would return to this earth. And in 1975, Randy now be a spirit being, living in the millennium, helping Jesus Christ bring in the kingdom. Well, in reality, 1972 brought my graduation from Ambassador College, and I went out as a trainee in Bakersfield. Instead of going to heaven, went to the other place. No, we don't go to heaven, by the way, but those of you that have lived in Bakersfield either know what I'm talking about or are offended. Okay. In 1975, Randy was a trainee, ministerial trainee in Denver, Colorado, serving on the front range as a young man in the ministry. Now, 2022, I'm back in Denver, Front Range, and we've got Russia now possibly in the process of invading Europe. 50 years late or so, but these things seem to be happening. It looks as though when we look around at prophecy today, that it very likely could be close to the time of the end and the prophecies that I studied so many years ago as a small boy. Is this the time of the end? What should be our focus? If this is the time of the end, or if it's not the time of the end, what is important? What would God have us to be looking at? Considering what you know from Scripture, from the Bible, what is interesting and what is essential? Now, I would say, you know, I don't want to say there's the Bible is unimportant, of course. So everything's important, but with everything that's important regarding prophecy, regarding doctrine, regarding everything else that's in the Scripture, what things are interesting, important, and what things are essential, important? Now, going back to the 60s, what did I study at that time and on into teenagehood and adulthood, young adulthood and old adulthood? What did I study that was important, essential? Many things I read were important, interesting. And which was which? At 10 years old, I look and I feel that answered the calling that Sean was talking about, and I had faith. I absolutely believed and believe in God. I believe the Scripture. I believed it, and I continue to believe it. And I think it was essential that I understand the things from the Scripture and God's plan and the faith in God and Christ as my Savior. I had hope that came from the Scripture. I was one of those kids that got the benefit of crawling under a desk if the bombs were to go off, and we got to practice that so that if the nuclear bombs did go off, we'd be protected, of course. In 1957, living just a few miles from Cuba and all of the things that happened there when we lived in Florida. So I had hope that there was something coming in the future that God was bringing, the kingdom of God. My parents' booklet that introduced them to the truth was, "Why were you born? What's the purpose of life? Why are we here? There's a goal. There's a kingdom of God." Essential to believe that, along with a lot of other interesting things. I loved the Word of God. As a young boy, I studied and I prayed, and I obviously wasn't always righteous, which is obvious because I'm not always righteous now. But at any rate, growing up, I learned to love God's way of life. Still do. Essential. And of course, you grow and learn to love properly. And that's something that's a lifelong learning. So I've grown an understanding and an application, and these things were essential. There are many things that have been interesting. You go to college, you have Bible studies, and you do your personal studies, you look at studies from other people and so forth, and we come across a number of things, such as calculating 2,520 years until the end. And in my really, really tattered Bible, I've got 1975, and then my newer Bible, when I wore the other one out a few years later, we took off the 7 years of Nebuchadnezzar being wild, so we had the date 1982. And so we finally didn't get it right then either. It was interesting to go through those exercises. Was it essential? Where is Noah's Ark? We do a lot of studies about that, a lot of interesting things out there. Are they essential? Interesting. Ark of the Covenant, where's that? Some theories on that. The location of Mount Sinai. We took a tour over to Israel and took a tour into Egypt, and that's one of the things. And well, it might be Mount Sinai. Is that interesting or essential? Looks at things like the crossing of the Red Sea or the crossing of the sea. Where was it? A lot of theories out there. Do you have it right? Do you have it wrong? Is that interesting or is that essential? 1,335 days, 1,290 days, 1,260 days. When is that? How does that come together? Very interesting. Is it essential you know exactly? Who are the end time players? The beast, the two witnesses, the nations, the rulers of the nations, regarding the prophecies that are there and that will come to pass. How essential is it to know exactly what those things are and many other things? To make your calling and election sure, what do you need to know? Why do you need to know that? What difference does it make? Some things make a great deal of difference. Others, maybe not so much. Not that we can't study a lot of things and be interested in things, but what is essential and what's interesting. I appreciate Sean's introduction because he kind of enables me to go on with that concept. But when you're called and you're in the church, does being in the church mean that you've got to know everything? Well, we've got the Bible. God's given us a calling, so we've got to know everything. We've got to know exactly, you know, the ins and outs and the exactness of the doctrine, not, well, somebody's opinion here or there. Now, it depends. I'm saying it's all important, but I'll maybe leave room for some questions when we get done. But does having some understanding of the truth mean that we will understand everything? Or that we must understand everything regarding the truth and have it exactly in our home box in order to attain salvation? Let's look at a couple of scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Again, what does the scripture say about what we must know, we must do? 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, although I have the gift of prophecy, I mean, we're not talking about just studying prophecy or seeing prophecy or understanding prophecy. I mean, we're talking about a gift of prophecy. By the way, you might have picked up on the fact that I don't have that gift. I mean, just as a anyway. And understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Okay, we are to gain knowledge, certainly. And even though I have all faith so I could remove mountains, but don't have love, I'm nothing. Well, there are some things that are essential. Love is the real essential. Really getting down to what the whole thing's about. And we've been talking about truth in love, and you'll see that more of that coming out from the Home Office on its strategic plan. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9, and I will tell you, I've got several really favorite scriptures in the Bible. And this is in my top 10, just personally. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9, here in the Amplified Version, it says, "We know in part, and we prophesy in part, for our knowledge is fragmentary and incomplete," according to Amplified Version. I like that one. It gives me some outs on things when somebody asks me a question. I don't know. I can say that. And say, well, like Paul, you know, we know in part and we prophesy in part. We do know things. God's given us a calling. He's opened our minds to the truth. And He's given us the hope of the kingdom of God. He's shown us the path there. But do we know everything? How much did Daniel need to know? Let's look at a couple of examples as I walk through this. How much did Daniel need to know in order to be given salvation eventually when it's his time at the return of Christ? He was given prophecy. He was given certain understanding. But let's look at, we'll start in Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 22, the Good News translation in Daniel 9:22, says the angel explained, "Daniel, I've come here to help you understand the prophecy." God speaks to us in different ways, at different times. Daniel then wanted to know the understanding or the interpretation of this prophecy. Verse 23, "When you began to plead with God, He answered you. He loves you, and so I've come to tell you the answer. Now pay attention while I explain the vision." And Daniel came out of this with understanding of prophecy and of the truth. A little bit later in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 8, look just as in a portion of that verse, in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 8, there were some things said about the end of time, and Daniel's statement was, "I heard what he said, but I didn't understand what he meant." I don't know the interpretation of this prophecy. I don't understand it. Well, how could Daniel be in the kingdom if he didn't understand everything there was to know about prophecy? Pretty easily. Some things were important. Some things were interesting. At the end time, what is important? Well, in the 60s, I was looking forward to it being the end time. It was not yet. We look around at things now, and frankly, things can happen so quickly, make our heads spin. I mean, it really, really can. And I believe the prophecies are there, and I believe they'll happen in a basic framework of what God has given us an understanding of. But when that end time is, if it's now, what's important? What's essential? We're going to spend some time here in Daniel chapter 12 because it talks about the end time. And it's probably a good example of what God wants us to think about and what's essential and what's interesting. So Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. And it was after a whole lot of other stuff and a whole lot of other prophecies, and a lot of them tie in with Revelation, and it's all really interesting and essential leading up to the return of Jesus Christ in the coming kingdom. But Daniel 12, verse 1, New Living Translation, he said, "At that time, Michael the archangel, who stands guard over your nations, will arise." So generally when it's talking about at that time, here it's talking about the end. It's talking about just before the return of Jesus Christ, which we are all looking forward to, and we better be firmly established in that understanding. So, at that time, the end. It says, "Then there will be a time of anguish greater than any since nations first came into existence." We're talking about the end. "But at that time," the end, "every one of your people whose name is written in the book will be rescued." Well, we can talk about that. It's another sermon by itself, is the written in the book. But it's a book of life, basically. Why would these people be rescued? Why would those people at the end time be saved? Was it because of their knowledge of prophecy or any other number of things in the book? History, archaeology, very interesting things. And they can help bolster our faith, which are essential and which are important. Verse 2, it says, "Many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up." When does that happen? Return of Jesus Christ. "Will rise up, some to everlasting life, and others another time to shame and everlasting disgrace." So when he talks about the time of the end here, he's actually talking about people who had lived at that time and died, waiting till their time of the end. From that time on through history, who died, who had been faithful, waiting to the time of the end. Those, maybe of us right now today, at the time of the end, if God chooses to make it right now. And it says that those who had been dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life. So, you know, you might ask, did those people through history who have been the faithful, have they understood everything relating to prophecy? No. Daniel said he died and he didn't understand everything. So, you know, to say, well, I've got to understand everything about prophecy in order to be in the kingdom. No, you don't. Many people haven't known. And some of us may never understand everything there is to know about prophecy by the time we join the dead. We're waiting for the resurrection. So it's nice to know, but is it essential? Daniel 12, verse 3, now it clarifies about this. It says, "Those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine as the stars forever." So it talks about those being in the book of life, those being resurrected at the return of Christ, will be the wise, have wisdom. And they will be the righteous. So what is essential for you to be resurrected when you die, after you die? Or to be changed to spirit being at the time Christ returns, if you're one of those still living? It says to be wise and righteous. Was it the intelligentsia with everything relating to understanding of history and dates and times? Is it prophecy? Is it archaeology? Is it any number of things that are interesting and even helpful to some of your righteousness or wisdom? But is your focus or priority helping you to be wise and righteous and leading others to righteousness? Remember, it says, those who lead many to righteousness will shine as stars forever. Is it helping you, is your knowledge and understanding helping you to be ready for Christ's return? Again, some things are very interesting in the process, but some things are essential to be ready for the return of Christ. It's not that we need to avoid one and just do the one, but what is our primary focus? Daniel 12 and verse 4 says, "But you, Daniel, keep this prophecy a secret." Oh, wait a minute. Some prophecies are a secret. Some prophecies you're not meant to know, at least right now. And some people will never know the secrets that were told to Daniel here. He said, "Seal up the book until the time of the end, when many will rush here and there and knowledge will increase." It's interesting to look at a couple of translations about this scripture. And of course, you know, people run to and fro and knowledge increase. And we know that's where we are as far as the knowledge that's out there. Google anything and you're running to and fro, right? But he said, "Daniel, keep the prophecy a secret until the time of the end." The CEV in this verse says, "Many people will go everywhere searching for the knowledge to be found in the book." Good News Translation says, "Meanwhile, many people will waste their efforts trying to understand what is happening." How many times have you seen people waste their efforts in relation to certain prophecies? I got to tell you, frankly, when I was trying to figure the 2,520 days, I spent a lot of time trying to do the math, and I wasn't all that good at math. And I came up with 1975. It was a waste of time. Okay, now believing the prophecy and knowing it's going to happen when God wants it to happen, that's essential. I had to spend hours trying to figure the sacred calendar in college and do all kinds of math and permutations and trying to figure it out so we'd know exactly what the sacred calendar was with postponements. And I didn't understand it then, and I couldn't do it to save my life now. Do I believe in the sacred calendar, God's holy days? Absolutely. Do I understand everything there is to know about it? No. What's essential and what's important and what's interesting? One other in Daniel 12:4 at the end says, in the interim, okay, he says, keep the prophecy secret until the time of the end. In the interim, this is from the Message Bible, in the interim, there's going to be a lot of frantic running around trying to figure out what's going on. Okay, so it's interesting, but we may waste some time in the process. Chapter 12 of Daniel, verse 6, the last part, one man in this vision said, "How long will it be till these shocking events are over? I want to know the time. Let me know the prophecy and the time that I can peg it." In verse 7, the last part was the answer. It said, it'll go on for times and half a time when the shattering of the holy people has finally come to an end. All these things will have happened. It's kind of another favorite principle of mine. People say, so what is this? Tell me about this prophecy. I said, I will tell you exactly what it means after it's happened. And that's there I can say, you know, if God grants me the ability to still be to be in the kingdom, then I'll tell you after it's happened. So I don't mean to sound so ignorant, but I am. I'm sorry. In verse 9 verse 8. And again, Daniel 12, verse 8. Daniel said, I heard what he said, but I didn't understand what he meant. So I asked, well, how will all of this finally end, Lord? Still want to know. I still want to know. I've pegged it wrong a few times, but I'd still like to know, exactly when it's going to end and how it's going to end and so forth. And verse 9, the easy-to-read version of Daniel 12, verse 9, he answered, go about your life, Daniel. The message is hidden. There'll be a secret until the time of the end. Just go on with life, okay? Not doing your own thing, but doing my thing, okay? Being righteous, following my laws and my ways, but go on with your life and don't worry about it. It's going to happen when I want it to happen. Verse 10, and so I think we can ask, so what's the important thing then? What's the important thing now? And what's the important thing at the time of the end, which may or may not be now also? Verse 10 of Daniel 12 says, many people will be made pure. They will make themselves clean. But evil people will continue to be evil, and those wicked people will not understand the things that are necessary to know, but the wise people will understand them. We need to be wise people. We need to be made pure and to make ourselves clean. Now, is wisdom knowledge? Knowledge is things you know, but is that necessarily wisdom? It can lead to wisdom. Or is wisdom the application of godly knowledge? Now, so to be wise, apply godly knowledge. It says the wise make themselves clean and righteous. But it's also understanding how you're made clean. You can try to make yourself clean by doing all kinds of things, but it's through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that we are made clean. And we have to repent. We've got to see this is God's way, this is what God says, we need to follow His way to repent, receive the Holy Spirit, have those sins washed away in the watery grave. That's the important thing. Being made pure. I mean, without it, without that sacrifice of Christ, all the other stuff, frankly, doesn't matter. What's important? 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15 says, from a childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation. So to be one of the wise, you need to be made wise through the Word of God, through faith which is in Jesus Christ, recognizing Him as our Savior, recognizing the way to the kingdom of God. And then it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. And certainly we study the Word of God to see doctrine is truth. It's a way to live. For reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. Now, again, there are a lot of things we can study and we can get into and be interesting, like trying to peg dates, trying to figure history, trying to figure prophecy, and many things we could get into and study, but which ones thoroughly equip us to every good work, and are we taking reproof from? I mean, we can study a lot of interesting things. A lot of sermonettes and sermons are made up that way. Kay and I were just listening to a sermon on the way up where he was talking about, from Psalm 92, palm trees and cedar trees. But he was showing, well, why does a palm tree represent the righteous and then the things we need to do to please God? And so you get these analogies, a lot of very interesting, essential things when we tie them to what's important. Daniel 12, verse 13. Daniel 12:13 says, "As for you, go your way till the end." And God says, "Daniel, you will rest. And then, at the end of days, you will rise again to receive the inheritance set aside for you." So Daniel will receive a reward, having understood some things that were essential for him at that time, and not having understood everything. I pretty much guarantee you that by the time Jesus Christ returns, you will not have understood everything that can be understood. It says, the rest of that scripture says, we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which we know in part will be done away. That which is perfect is who? What? Christ. And so we'll fill in these blanks that we have. But what is essential? The time of the end for Daniel was 2,600 years ago. And what was important for him? The time of the end for my mother was about 35 years ago. She had cancer for about 5 years and suffered a great deal. But she was one of those like really super dedicated people to God and His way of life, and the type of person that we all strive to be in principle. And when she was dying, she focused on what was important. She had studied the Bible, and she knew, and she could quote dates and things like that that were given, and she knew history, and she knew prophecy, and she knew a lot of things, being in the church for quite a while, being called for quite a while. But history and prophecy, doctrinal details, but well, exactly, you know, do we have this exactly right? You know, we had the outline. Current events, frankly, weren't all that interesting to her in the last days of her cancer. What was interesting, she wrote letters to each of us as her husband and to us kids. And in those letters to each of us, she encouraged continuing in the faith. That was important to her. To continue being dedicated to God. Continue serving people. She focused on family. Now that was in her time of the end, and it was when she died. Back in the 80s, or whenever that was, she died in the faith. Most knowing their end focus on what's important. You know, we announced the Fords in Albuquerque, and Jim Ford was in the hospital for quite a while with COVID, and Peter nearly died from it, and Jim could have died from it, and you know, talking with them, and I'd like for them to speak for themselves, so they can be here so they could pass that on. But he said, makes you rethink, makes you focus on what's important when you may die. I think we kind of understand that. Jesus was at a point where he knew he was going to die. close to his time of the end. And I think it's instructional if we look at Christ's example and say, well, Jesus, just prior to the time of his end, what was important to him? I told you, my mom passed on several lessons to us kids and to her husband, Leonard, of things that she thought would be important to them. You know, Jesus did the same thing for us. He was about to die, and he wrote some lessons down for us to keep in mind just before that end. Let's take a close look at that. Am I going over time too badly here? 3:47. I have 10 minutes. I'm going to take more. Sorry, you can leave if you care to. So it's all right. As you prepare for Passover this year in 2022, these may be some things that Christ would have you to consider as we near Passover. And frankly, the time of the end may be for one of you before Passover. It could be. So your time may be, it's not now, it's going to be later. In general, during Christ's life, what did he preach about? How many sermons do you see that he gave on a doctrinal exposition? Or papers did he write on doctrine? Oh, he preached doctrine, which is the truth, which is belief. But as far as just a doctrinal paper, if you will, or a doctrinal sermon specifically, how many of those did he focus on, you can remember? Sermons on prophecy. He talked about prophecy all the time. The kingdom of God is prophecy. What it takes to get up there is regarding prophecy. As far as just, here are prophecies. Yeah, there is some. But in general, how much? The Sermon on the Mount. What was contained within that he wanted to get across to those people? Well, we talked about true righteousness, talked about the kingdom of God. He talked about the application of the law. You've heard it was said of old, I say unto you, and so forth. Let's look close to Jesus' time of the end of his life just prior to Passover. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And verse 1 says, now it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings that he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the Passover and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. I'm going to die and I want you to remember the things I just finished saying. My last message to you, basically, except for Passover itself. What were these sayings? What was it that Christ talked about and was on his mind and he felt was important to leave for the disciples and for you and for me when we think about the return of Christ, when we think about what's really important and essential? Now, Matthew chapter 24, and it was on the disciples' mind a lot. It's on your mind a lot. It's okay. But Matthew 24, verse 3, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceives you. Well, first of all, he said, look, there are going to be people saying a lot of things. There are going to be a lot of ideas and things. Don't be deceived. Okay. Be sure to focus on what's right. Now, he was answering their question, and he went on and he gave, as we know in Matthew chapter 24, the Olivet Prophecy. And he told a lot of things that would happen between then and the end. But notice some of the interjections that he gave here. And he said, Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets will rise and deceive many. Okay, so you may get into prophecy and want to know the end, but be careful, because there's going to be a lot of prophecies that just aren't right. Okay. Verse 13, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. Well, there's a personal conviction and a direction that you stay with. Okay. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. Then the end will come. You got a work to do. Okay, so do the work. Gospel's got to be preached. Endure to the end. Matthew 24:23, and he goes on with some of these other pestilences and many other things going on. But 24:23, if anyone says to you, look, there's Christ, or there, don't believe it. For false Christs and prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. And see, I've told you beforehand, be careful. You don't want to be deceived. That was important to him. Okay? Stay focused on the important things. Verse 26 of 24. Hey, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, don't go out. Look, he's in the inner rooms, don't believe it. For as a lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. There are a lot of people out there that, in sincerity, talk about the time of the end and make these prophecies and say, well, you know, God spoke to me. And, you know, one of them just fairly recently, one of the things was, I read the prophecies and Joe Biden will not be president. Donald Trump is going to be president. It was headlines in his magazine even. And he said, I know 100% that's true. Well, wouldn't quite. And all kinds of people come up with all kinds of different things. He said, be careful. Matthew 24:36, he said, of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. Now, if it was so important for you to know the dates, the times, the exact events, exactly how they're going to come down, he's got the ability to let you know. And he'll let us know what we need to know. That I'm convinced of. But I'm not sure we need to know everything. Matthew 24:42, watch therefore, for you don't know what hour your Lord is coming. Therefore, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't expect. Yes, I'm coming. I'm returning. I'm bringing the kingdom to this earth to wipe away all tears eventually, follow God's plan. But you don't know. He said, I don't even know at that point. And he still may not. How important is it to nail down some things? He said, be ready. You know, be ready spiritually. That's what's important to him. It's not knowing specific things necessarily. Knowing the timing, the end of events, will not give you salvation. I don't know. The knowledge does not give you salvation, even if you did know. What brings you salvation? Repentance and faith towards God in Christ's sacrifice. Matthew 24, verse 46. You know, he finishes up this Olivet prophecy, talking about prophecies and what happens when Christ returns and the sun and moon and all that type of thing. But what does he tell us? Matthew 24:46, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say, he'll make him ruler over all his goods. This is basically his final pre-Passover directions. Then Matthew chapter 25, and again, this is just 2 days before Passover. He gives the parable of the 10 virgins. And he says, 5 will be wise and 5 will be foolish. And he's talking about the bridegroom coming back and the 10 virgins will be there. And verse 4, the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. What made the 5 ready? Their knowledge? Was it knowing when he would return? Nobody knew when he would return according to this parable. All were surprised. Those using the Holy Spirit were ready. Verse 25, he says, Matthew 25:13. He says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. The timing wasn't important. Being ready spiritually was. Then he goes into the parable of the talents. Verse 14, kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, called his servants to them. He gave them 5 talents, 2 and 1, each according to his ability. Matthew 25:21. The Lord said to him, well done, you good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. God gives you something to do. He gives you a certain amount of talents, a certain amount of understanding and ability to follow through with that. Follow through with it and enter into the kingdom. Matthew 25:33, what does he talk about? Again, this is just before Passover. Matthew 25:33, he'll set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. The king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It's a part of the plan. If you want to be a part of the plan, what was important? Matthew 25:29, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. If you have all knowledge of prophecy, if you understand all mysteries, if you have all faith and don't have love, you have nothing. It boils down to it, doesn't it? What was important to him is that we become like him. And then what did he do? 2 days later, it's the Passover. First thing, washing feet. Giving of himself. Follow me. Matthew 26:1, it came to pass when Jesus finished these sayings, he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the Passover, the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. You know, a little facetiously, but carnally speaking, I think it would have been helpful if Jesus on Passover night would have helped them to figure out the timeline of the Exodus. You know, and then in chapters 12 through 14, we could figure exactly when they left and exactly, you know, so we don't have some having Passover on night to be much observed and some Passover the evening before. If he could have just laid it out, and then we wouldn't have these questions that come up. Why couldn't he have done that? Why couldn't he have explained the sacred calendar so we don't have literally 15 or 20 versions of it So people are doing it at one time or the other. I mean, that's the important thing, right? That we've got the time of Passover exactly correct and they don't. Jesus could have told us that. The timing of foot washing during Passover, figuring the 14th or 15th. I mean, we've got study papers out there and show a lot of different ideas about it and permutations of Passover. This is very important, essential. The timing of it, he could have explained that better, couldn't he? Why were some Jews not killing the lamb at the same time as others? He couldn't have explained that evening. It saved us a lot of difficulty. The timing of Christ setting up the kingdom, whether, you know, when the word God is used in the Old Testament, whether it's referring to the Word or the Father. There are people that just recently started their own group over that one. Well, he could have explained it. So there would be no question about it. But instead, he talked about serving one another. He talked about being one. He talked about becoming a part of the kingdom of God, about being one with the Father and with one another and loving one another and becoming a part of his kingdom. Are we doing what Jesus tells us to do? Are we following the attitude of our Savior? Do we have his mind? Those seem to be important things. They were essential things according to Christ. What do we focus on? Are we too about our Father's business as he was? I want to close with one other end time statement about the end and what's important. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look, it's only 4 minutes after 4, according to mine, so I'm still quitting pretty early. So, 2 Peter chapter 3, definitely talking about the end. And what does he say is important? 2 Peter 3 verse 9, New International Version, says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but what? Wanting everyone to come to repentance." That's what's important to him. Is it that important to us? Verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come still like a thief." It's like, you don't know when the thief's coming, right? He comes in, otherwise you'd have been ready. So face it, you're not going to be able to just figure it out to save yourself. Not going to happen. It says, "The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare." All these prophecies are going to happen. So, verse 11, "Since everything will be destroyed this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming." That's what's important when you're talking about the end. It says, "That day will bring about destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt with heat." And verse 13, "But in keeping with this promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness." So righteousness plays into that, because without being the righteous, through that process that it takes to be the righteous, you're not going to be there. Other scriptures make that plain. Verse 14, so then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with Him.